ago. And Deuteronomy 4, what's wrong? Deuteronomy 4, and I'm just going to continue on where I left off. Chris, did you hear what I said back there, Chris?
Something about Tuesday Bible study.
Yeah, we're going to think about doing a Tuesday night Bible study, so... You ready? Everybody ready? Deuteronomy, I'm looking at you, look, you're going to sing with me.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, I want to start in. It says, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And I left off last week with these warnings that the Bible is given by the way God wants us to have it. So and he gives us warnings not to touch it. Don't be the one to change it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. And so I got a little quote here I want to read. I was going to do it at the 1 o'clock service. Really, the Lord moved me in a different direction, so I never did. But I'm doing a lot of studying in some books here. And this guy's name is Robert Lauwerth. And I want you to hear what he has to say because... He was born in 1710. He died in 1787. And I want you to see the outlook he already has on a King James Bible at this point. And then I want you to see where America is by what he's quoting that long ago. And I think you'll be amazed. He was one among many who have observed, written about the Bible's built-in dictionary. He's got a book, and it's called God's Bible Dictionary Within. And he's saying that there's a dictionary that's within the King James Bible. The words will define itself. God gave us parallelisms. When you see a word, you don't understand it. In the Bible, it will define that word for you, and it parallels along with that. So he's saying you don't need to go anywhere else. The Bible, there's a dictionary written in the Bible. And it says a bishop of London and a professor of poetry at Oxford, Lauwerth, observed that the Bible has parallelisms which reiterate God's thoughts. They back God's thoughts up. This is what God wants you to know. And that's why he stresses so hard. This is reiterating. It's showing you what God wants you to know. God doesn't ask you to go out to man. God doesn't ask you to go out to other things. He's trying to say, listen, I gave you my book. There's no need for you to go anywhere else. It's all built right in there. And so... this guy here writes that it says, God included his own built-in dictionary so that he, not man, would determine just what it means. The Bible's rich vocabulary of synonyms that are words that nearly mean the same thing affords many advantages. And so he gave a list of some advantages. I'm going to read three of them to you. It expands the reader's vocabulary and thereby enhances the reader's ability to think. Since words are the tools used for thinking. Last week I said, a King James Bible, God finds a man like me, a low estate. Okay, I'm not saying anybody else wasn't a low estate. I'm just going to use me as an example. That he finds me as a low estate. Now, if you would have met me or heard me on the phone, let's say, you would have really thought that I was a gangster. I mean, the vocabulary I had was just, it was out of this world, okay? And so, here I get saved. Now, God doesn't want me to have that same vocabulary. He doesn't want me to talk this way. So what he does is, what the King James Bible does, he takes me, takes a saved person, and he brings me up to his level. And now my vocabulary changes. And not only does my vocabulary change, but the way I think changes. The way my thought patterns and all that. This is all from a Bible that people are saying is wrong. It has inconsistencies and so on and so forth. This is what it's done to a person like me, to a man like me. It has taken me from a level of a lowly person to a saved person, a child of God. What do with our children? I know, Jody, you're a homeschooler. Are you not teaching them to read and write? So why wouldn't God do that with us, with his word? Of course, their vocabulary is getting better because you're teaching them that. You get that? That's what God does with the King James Bible. He's taking that same person, he's changing their thoughts, vocabulary, and everything else, and he's bringing them up to his level, not as a God. We can never be a God. We'll never stand there equal with God. But he brings you up from that person that, I mean, just you, nobody would ever believe in a million years that would have been you. And he brings that person up and he changes them. He changes their thoughts, their vocabulary, and everything else. Now, here's what those other versions do. That same person... Now, with that same person, they're going to take that NIV and they're going to say, God, you come down to him. Now, that person is going to stay the same, talk the same, listen to the same things, walk the same, and very, very little will change. And this is what they stick in. Well, our NIVs and ASVs are easier to read and understand. I tend to disagree with that, and I'll tell you why. My two children are 10 and 7. They can understand the King James Bible better than the NIV. Okay? Why? Because God wants us to come to His level. We're not going to ever bring God down to our level. The New International Committee is never going to bring God down to their level. But that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get that. So here's what they're saying. This is all new stuff. The NIV is all new and this and that. What they're really doing is taking the 4th century Apocrypha, which is parts of the of the Old Testament that the Catholic priests had added into the Old Testament. It's not part of the Bible, but they've taken that, and that's what they're getting their translations from. So they think that they're really using new stuff to translate, and they're not. They're using a 4th century manuscript to translate what they call today. So what has happened is, let's say there's 100 manuscripts. 99 of those manuscripts will match up with this King James Bible. There's one that may disagree. That's found in the book of Luke. So what they've done is the NIVs, the ASVBs, the RSVs, all those guys have taken that one that goes against the King James Bible, and that's what they put in their NIV. Well, what's the big deal? Here's the big deal in Luke. Number one, Jesus is standing there in Luke 4, and he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." They totally eradicated that. They've taken it right out of there. Number two, the Our Father in the book of Luke. They've taken everything about evil and taken that and eradicated it. They just took it right out of there. So what they've done now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are all fine. Why? Because it all agrees with the transcripts except for that one. So they took that and put it in their NIV. Because they're trying to take Lucifer and Satan and evil out of their Bible and trying to make it equal with Jesus Christ. And where do they get that from? They get that from the 4th century Apocrypha, which is the extra books that the Catholic Church has put in the Bible, which we don't have in our Bible because they're not part of the Bible. But that's where they're getting their renderings from. And this is the whole mess behind it. But there's this guy here saying this. And then he says, "I always say a King James Bible brings us to his level. Other versions try to bring God down to their level. Number two, words having parallel meanings bring their own rhythm, pace, emphasis, rhyming sounds, making them fitly framed together in their given context. The Bible is an orchestra of sounds. Its words are music to the mind and spirit." Many times you'll hear people say, "Well, it's just hard for me to be able to memorize them, NIV or RSV, whatever Bible they're into." God wrote the King James Bible in such a way that where it's easy for us to memorize Scripture. Yeah. It has a rhythm to it. And that gets into our mind. It gets into our spirit. It makes it easy for us to memorize that compared to these other books. And he's writing this in the 1700s. Okay? Number three. The huge storehouse in the English vocabulary was built from numerous languages. Latin, Greek, Gothic, Aramaic, Hebrew, and etc. This is why English has become the international language of the 21st century. Nearly one-third of the people in the world can speak English, either as their first or second language. So the English language is built up of all these other languages. And so that would make it easy for people to understand. God comes up and he comes up with the King James language. The King James language was never a language spoken. It sounds similar to some of the poets back there and all that, but they never walked around. They never talked that way. It wasn't a talked language. So what the King James translator did is they came up with a language that everybody could understand. Now when you start plucking that stuff out of there, now you're making it sound one way. You're making it sound Anglo-Saxon, or you're making it sound Germanic, or you're making it sound Latin. So it's bringing confusion. Now God is not the author of confusion, the devil is. And so that's what these new Bibles are doing. They're raising questions and heresies and, you know, bringing out fables and all this stuff here. And it's not edifying. It's not edifying that when you have all the arguments and so on and so forth. And you know what? Most of the time they come to find out is those who have those Bibles. Go. Now, I said this wrong this morning, and Tim asked with corrected. How do you say it? Preface in the beginning of a book? Is that a preface? Preface, I'll say preface. That's what I say. He goes preface or something. Yeah. preface. You go read a preface in the NIV, and they'll tell you that there is no true word of God. That's what they believe.
That's right.
They believe there's no such thing as an infallible true word of God, and that man's doing the best they can to tell you what God wants them to hear. That's what these new translators have. I beg to differ on that. I beg to differ. There is a perfect word of God, and I hold it in my hand every day. It's called the King James Bible. And God, you know, God doesn't have to go around proving it. The proof is this. Watch a person's life between the books. Watch the difference in a person who's got those other versions and someone who has the King James Bible. You just watch for yourself. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. That's all God, you know, God says, study to show thyself proven unto him. We're doing that. He's gave us a benefit by giving us his Bible. The one who created us knew what it was going to take for us to stay straight. And he gave us the instructions right here. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Our creator not only died to take care of the sin problem, but he gave us instructions on how we can live our life. And I said, maybe I said this at 1 o'clock, I'll repeat myself. There's no way on God's green earth I would ever learn how to be a dad or a father or a husband without a King James Bible. It taught me who I am today. Amen. Never would I have learned how to be a preacher or to, you know, how my vocabulary. My vocabulary alone blows my mind. Because it's not like I went and started working on changing my vocabulary. It just started coming with the thinking. It started coming with the heart change. It started coming where? From reading that. You know, I read higher education stuff now. I can get into that stuff and I can understand more of the language just from reading the King James Bible. It's really done that for me. It's really cleaned up my thinking. It's really cleaned up my thoughts and made me think different than I ever have in my life. And that's why I think the way I do. And I said it today at 1 o'clock. Some people think I'm a crazy nut with this King James Bible, and that's fine. I'm a crazy nut for it then. Because I was a crazy nut for drugs, I was a crazy nut for everything else. Now I want to be a crazy nut for Jesus Christ and the Word, and I think that's okay. It's very healthy. It may not be healthy for me here in the next few years, the way things are going. You know, making us, they're taking our Bibles from us and everything else, but that's all right. So that's just a little tidbit I wanted to share. I thought that was pretty interesting. So we're told not to change it. Then why would one think it's okay to do so? Go with me, if you would, to John 1. John 1. I think I read this last week, but I'm going to go back to it. I want to recap. I don't want to miss nothing. John 1. We'll start in verse 1. John 1. I'm going to read first 13 or 14 verses anyway. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You see, that darkness that comprehended it not, that's those people who are putting those versions out there. Another thing that I learned is the guy, oh man, I forgot the press. He's got all rights to the NIV. He bought the rights for from Zondervan in 1988. He bought the rights to publish the NIV. That same guy went and just now recently bought the rights to publish. I can't remember what he did. Anyway, the same publisher that bought the rights to the NIV and such just bought the rights to print New King James Bibles and so on and so forth. And this is the same publisher that puts out erotica, you know, dirty books. He's also the one that publishes the Devil's Bible by Anton LaVey. And now he has the rights to publish these other versions of the Bible. He just bought that company. Just bought that company. So we have a guy who's a sex fanatic, who's into Lucifer and Satan, and now he's out there publishing their Bibles for him. And you don't think he's going to corrupt that? He's only got to change 10%. Nobody would know. Because now he has the rights to publish it. He bought the rights for that. So I'm just saying, well, anyway. Why? Because they can't, you know, darkness can't comprehend what Jesus is doing in this world. They can't. They want to fight in tooth and nail. They have to have their own understanding. They have to have their own ways. They're trying to bring God down to their level with that trash, what thing they call Bibles and all that, and their churches and all that. They're trying to bring God down to their level. Listen, God's not going to stoop down to the level of mankind. He did it one time and hung on a cross and rose again so people could be saved. That was the one and only time it was going to be done. He's not going to do it again now. I believe this. If God could preserve... Listen to me. There's people who are in them churches and such. They believe that God created this whole earth. They believe God created every atom that ever, the atoms and the neutrons and all that. They believe He created all that. And why can't He preserve a word? Why can't He preserve a Bible? If He's all-powerful and almighty, He can do it. Then why, you tell me, give me one explanation why people think He can't preserve a perfect word. Is He so weak? I tell you, people who believe He can't preserve a word, they better not trust Him for salvation, because He won't hold that either. They got to be thinking that. How could He ever hold their salvation if he can't give us a perfect word? How?
Well,
it won't comprehend it. John 1:6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. You see, all men through him might believe. It's not just a chosen few, them Calvinists who think only a chosen few. No, for all men to believe. He's shining the light that all men can believe. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's who He wants saved. He's not slack concerning His promise. He says this. He says, I forget. God is not slack concerning His promise. Man, but all men should come to repentance. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what God's will is. That's what He wants. But I'm just going to tell you this now. It's not happening with these fools that are playing with the Bible. It's not happening. You can see it in people's lives. Remember, just picture in your head. The King James Bible, God's whole intention was to bring that person. Now, you guys, most of you know what the definition of repentance is. To turn from your ways to God's way. That's only going to happen when you start reading the King James Bible. That's God's written word. That's what He wrote for us. Now, when you start messing around perverting things, you're not going to change from your way to God's way. You're going to change to your way and stay in your ways. You see, there's a difference in this thing. There's a difference in why Christianity is getting such a bad name. My wife came up to me the other day, and she goes, "Will you read this? It was in the news. Our vice president's son had died. And here's a Baptist church standing there and won't let people in the guy's funeral." I wonder why I don't want to be called a Baptist. People out there living a life like that. I told her dad, I sent her dad a 7-page email. I said, "I'll tell you this right now, Jim. I said, there ain't a denomination in this world that'll save a soul. I said, it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how people get saved. I said, being a Baptist doesn't save me." It used to be that Baptists, and not all Baptists are bad, but they used to hold on to some good standards. They believed the King James Bible. They believed it was the infallible Word of God. But now a lot of Baptists have turned their back even on that. They don't believe every jot and jittle that Jesus Christ said is from Him. He said every one of them, this world's going to pass away, but every jot and jittle that's in is not going to pass away of His words. It's all going to be there. The commas, the apostrophes, all that. It's all going to be there, and they don't even believe it. They call themselves a King James Bible believer. Oh, that's infallible. Oh, this doesn't make sense. You don't study your Bible, it'll make sense to you. There's not a contradiction in there. You just need to read it where it goes and put it where it belongs and leave it there. The only contradiction is your brain trying to get God to agree with you, and He's never going to agree with you. He's trying to get you to agree with Him.
Okay.
That's what people don't like, Doug. People don't want to agree with God. They're trying to make God agree with them, and it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. I got to take this off. I'm about to sweat to death, probably lose 15 pounds up here. And I need to lose some weight. Oh, God, just fall in love with His Word. Fall in love with Him. I'm reading a book, and he said, I'll come back to it. That was the light, the light that cometh into the world, John 1:10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, that's the Jewish people, and they received Him not. But as many as received into them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Which were born out of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Everybody says that they know and understand the Lord's grace. But in the verse, it ends with saying He is full of truth. What's that last part say? The glory of the Father, the only of the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. If Jesus is full of grace and truth, and He is the Word made in the flesh, then tell me, why does people think He changed? What truth are they looking for? As the Pharisees, as the scribes, as those Gentiles that refused Jesus Christ, they're doing it today because they don't want His truth. It says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know what that means? That means, Doug, it will grab a hold of you. I looked up the definition, and it will constrain you. It will absolutely take a hold of you until it gets the results that it wants you to have. That's what the truth does. That's what Jesus Christ is. He's the Word. He's full of grace and truth. That means He's going to have grace on you. At the same time, He's going to give you the truth, which is going to constrain you, and then it's going to set you free. They don't want that. They don't want freedom from their self because they don't see their self as bad people. They don't see their self, God forbid. They don't see their self as God sees them. They don't understand. He's looking down going, gosh, my child, you need to open your eyes and see what you are. You're going to stand before Him one day and you're going to hit the judgment throne and He's going to say, depart from me that work iniquity. I never knew you. Doesn't He make it clear when He says something? Say, Lord, Lord. And He says, depart from me. I never knew you that work iniquity. He knew what was going to be happening in 2015. It's been happening before that, but I'm just saying, today, 2015, there are people who are going to die. My best friend that I grew up with, most of you heard this morning, my best friend that I grew up with just found out he's dead. You know why? He couldn't leave the lifestyle alone. Couldn't walk away from it. Just had to have it. Now he's dead, same age as me, 43. He was actually a few months older than me. And I'm telling you, me and this kid did everything together. Everything. There wasn't nothing we never did together. His mom walked in the room, he was dead. Dead. Couldn't leave it alone. When I found the news, I cried. Broke my heart. I said, Lord, why were you so merciful to me, Lord? Why not him? Why couldn't he leave it? Why couldn't he see it? That's not like we didn't try. We went there many times to work with him. Pastor John went there and he just didn't want it. Why couldn't he see it? He's dead now. In the flames of hell for eternity. It's all right if you don't believe it. Just because you don't believe it don't mean it ain't true.
That's right.
You'll know. You'll wake up when you feel like a stuffed pig on a roaster there. And you're burning for eternity. You're continually falling, screaming, and then demons are biting all over you, and you're in darkness, man. And I mean, it's hot and smelly and nasty. You'll know. You know why? Jesus Christ preached hell more than anybody in the Bible did. And if He said it, you better believe it. Hell, you know what the thing is? The thought of hell never scared me. Because today it's just a cliche. Today, oh, I'm going to go to hell and party.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's looked at. But you know what scared me, Doug, to getting saved? When I finally seen myself as God wanted me to see myself. That's what scared me. Yes. How many sleepless nights did I used to have because I was so afraid of my anger? I was afraid to hurt my own family. I was afraid to hurt people. You know, I used to sweat and stand up at night. You know why? Because I was so afraid that I was going to go out there and commit a robbery. I was so afraid that I couldn't stop myself. I was afraid of the alcohol, the drugs, the abuse in my family. I became afraid of that. Fearful of that. That's when I got saved. When I finally said, oh. And I thought I was okay. And I finally came into an agreement with the Lord. And I said, Lord, now I understand why you did what you did. Why you did it, I don't know. I'm not worthy of it, but I thank you for doing it. Thank you for doing it. Thank you for doing that. You can't believe one and not the other. One must believe that Jesus is speaking the truth. A quote from the book of the Christian Handbook of the Manuscript Evidence, he says that those who do not believe a King James Bible is the perfect Word of God believes that somewhere is something God wrote, if anyone can find it. I beg to differ with that. I'm just saying God is not such a mean God that he would write something and then hide it from us.
Yes.
Why would he give it to us? Here. Lord, you want me to live your way? How can I live your way? Ping. Here you go. You know how to read. You know how to write. You know how to speak English. Here's the Bible for you. I don't think he's going to write something and then hide it from us. What a mean God that would be. That'd be like holding the carrot in front of your face and say, go ahead and get that. That's what that would be like. Oh, Lord, I can't live for you. I don't know how to live for you, Lord. No, you got to find my word. It's going to be a 10,000-year treasure hunt. Oh, we have it right here. Everything that we need is sitting right here in front of us. The carrot, we don't have to chase the carrot. It's right there. All these other fools want to go out and change it. Why? Because they can't agree with God. They want God to agree with them, and it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. He says, if anyone can find it, he says that they believe in the inspiration of the scriptures, but not the preservation of them. They believe they have taken it upon themselves to write what they think. God has spoken what they need to do with this verse. 2 Peter 1:20 says, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is any private interpretation. For the now is the prophecy come in not in old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God which spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God has finished saying what he had to say, and we need to hold on to that with our hand, and we hold on to that with our hands today. He says, now let me go back and read. It says, for the prophecy came not. For the prophecy, he's saying now, the prophecy now. What you have in your hands now, that is the written word of God. There is nowhere else to turn to. There's nothing else to run to. All you need to do is go to this. Take it. Listen, believe it with all your heart. The problem is today, I can sit there and say, hey, somebody come out and say, you know, I really need some help in my life. I told my wife, I said, Amy, can you explain to me? In a few words, while we're on our way here, we always have good talks. I said, can you explain to me what happened to Dale and Amy? I need to know an answer. Did you just tell me? What'd you tell me?
Pastor told me, did what Pastor said. He told us to go in the Word, stay under the preaching, you know.
And study. Listen to me. That's what showed me that I was lost. That's how I knew how to get saved. And that's how I know the Bible today. We have to, listen, people have to get into that. And they say, if you don't understand something, it doesn't mean not to believe it. It just, you ask God, please show me. God wants to show you. He wants to teach you his word. But to get people to even settle for that. I can say, well, here's my answer to you. We're going to get into the Bible here, and I'm going to show you some life circumstances. Show you how to handle things, some things differently. And we'll go in there and they'll say, well, how about this and this? All right, I'll go in there and I'll show them the Bible. Well, God says to do this and this about that. And they come to find out they don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Then how can I help you? I don't have a magic pill. I don't have a potion or a smoke screen to throw at you. I don't have a pill say, here, take everything and be. I don't have that. And I know some that say, well, I don't understand the King James Bible. I wish I had the answer for you. I could do everything in my power to help you, but you know what? Only God's going to teach you. That's who taught me. But I really want to have a Bible study because I believe God is moving for us to have a Bible study here. I just believe that where people can come here on a Tuesday night and we can just learn the Bible together. I'm talking to all of us. Open for questions, all that stuff. Let's just have fun with it. We can learn the Word of God together. But, you know, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. God has to be first and foremost in our life.
Yes.
That's all there is to it. Once God sees that, then it says, study to show yourself proven unto the Lord. You gotta study. You gotta get in that thing. No matter, listen, we have been going through some black, hard times. But I tell you one thing that I'm not doing. I'm not folding up that book, and I'm not leaving church. Because if it wasn't for those things, I wouldn't make through where we are. Just telling you that right now. So, the whole point of it is, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God proves himself. He shows himself through the Bible. He shows himself. He reasons with you. He makes you understand things. And that's why it's so important to get in there and read that thing, because he's trying to show you. He's trying to open your eyes to what he needs you to see. But like Pastor said today at the 11 o'clock, so many people get that inclination from God, and they, instead of facing it, they run from it.
Yeah.
Hey, I would never sit here and tell you what God wants to show you is an easy thing. I'd be a liar. It's hard, as hard as all get up. But you know what? When you face it, God can deal with it, you can deal with it, and it's over with.
Amen.
So, all right. So if Jesus Christ is the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and if Jesus is the Word, and if he is God, and Hebrews 13:18 says Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. So if he doesn't change, and he is the Word, then why would his word change? Is he a liar? Is the word, is it that the word would have to be changed to make it right? Or is man trying to make it fit his lifestyle and what he believes and his religion and what he thinks God should have written? That's what it comes down to. Man is putting in those other verses what they think God should have said. You see? They're trying to twist what God said and make it fit what they think he should have said. No, God put down exactly what needed to be said, where it needed to be said, and how it needed to be said. So let's just leave it alone. Let me ask you something. Why don't you go back to your little historians that are writing all the history books and change them for them? Why is it so hard for people to understand that God can give us a Bible to believe and to trust and to live on, but they'll sit there and take a historian that they've never even seen or met, they'll take him for their word at it? Why aren't we going out and messing with the historians? Why aren't we going out and messing with the math teachers and the social studies and science? Why aren't we going out there and messing with them? Because we have an easier time believing them than we do God. That's the whole purpose of the book, is to get you to take your mind and eyes off of man and put it on God. It's the whole purpose of the Bible. Because man can't make it on his own. It's been proven since the beginning of time. Go ahead. God let Adam and Eve loose in the garden. Told them only one thing not to do. Man wasn't even out there very long. What'd they do? They did the same. They did the very thing God told them not to. Guess what man's still doing today? The very thing that God told them not to. Most of it's coming from fathers. Dads. You know, men used to be looked up to. There used to be men in this country. Thank God for those who are saved and God's turning into men. But there used to be men in this country. Men that would stand up and fight for a church. Would stand up and fight for their family. That would stand up and fight for a King James Bible. Now it's just, there's none. It's few and far in between. It's taken away manhood. And manhood is kicking God straight to the curb. Today's manhood. You ain't no man because you have babies. Ain't no man because you're a gangster. Or sling drugs, or you can fight. That don't make you a man. Never made me a man. Matter of fact, when Pastor met me, I was so effeminate, and that's not gay. That means I reacted with my emotions horribly. And I called myself a man. But yet, I reacted with my emotions so horribly that you would have never thought in a million years that I was any kind of a man. God had to teach me how to deal with that. Don't you think he was teaching me? Now today, they call themselves a man, and they're so effeminate, they're almost a half a fag.
True.
You might as well. You know what I mean? Let's not. We need men who are going to stand up for something that's real, truthful, and this will flip, it will flip America around second to none if people start getting back into the Word of God, start trusting Jesus Christ for who he is, what he says he is, and start loving and living that. Yeah, but I know you know, Butch. Carrie, Esther, you guys know, man. You guys are in the battle all the time. The trenches, man, they're lonely when you don't have nobody with you. I don't know if I said this at 1 o'clock, but I said sometimes me and my wife, you guys will probably understand what I'm going to say here, you older guys, that we're in the trenches so deep, and sometimes we want to reach up and say, but there's nobody to reach up to. That's a lonely place to be in them trenches, man. She started crying about it earlier. Because being in those trenches, you just want to reach out to somebody for some help and to talk because you're going through a rough time, and who can you reach to? Where do they all go? It's all my brothers and sisters, the ones who promised they were going to be here with us. Instead of edifying one another, we're destroying each other.
That's right.
People can't let things go. You know. You know. People can't let things go. He says, forgive your brother how many times? A day. You see? And you know, these non-Christian people, they see us holier-than-thou people and wonder why they don't want to step foot in the church. God forbid. Numbers 23 and 18 says, God is not a man that he should lie. Let me ask you this. Why would God write a book telling man exactly who and what they are and think that it doesn't bother him that you feel brokenhearted when you read about yourself? It doesn't bother him that you get offended what he thinks about us. Hey, that's what he wants. That's the effect that he wants. And you know what? They want to shut Baptist mouths up. You know why? Because with the Baptists, we believe in the King James Bible. We believe it's an infallible word of God. And we're going to prevail. So shut the Baptists up. Shut those ones up who believe in the King James Bible. Because we have the truth. It will prevail. They don't want that. They want to shut our mouths up. But let me ask you. Why would God have to lie with anything that he puts in this word? What's it going to accomplish by him lying? He's not a man. You know, that's something you can do that God can't, lie. God, it's not going to... What gain is God going to have by lying? He's not going to gain a soul. He's not going to gain any victories. So why? What's wrong with what he gave us? It's because it doesn't fit their criteria of life. It don't fit their religion. It don't fit their lifestyle. They have to try to bring God down to their lifestyle. I mean, I just couldn't imagine my conscience if that's what I was reading on a daily basis. It was one of those other versions. Now, with those other versions, 99.9% of them people live a lifestyle that they used to live. Very little change. If there is any change, it's all outward. But you know what Jesus Christ said about that? It looks good on the outside, but the inside is full of dead men's bones.
Yes.
He never dealt with that thing. We need to deal with that thing. God needs to deal with that thing. So he's not a man that he should lie. And he's not worried about hurting your feelings. Matter of fact, he wants to hurt your feelings. Because when he hurts your feelings, then you see what he wants you to see. But people don't want that. And I'm not trying to offend anybody here. If I do, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I'm saying this for any reason. People get their feelings hurt by a Bible or by what a man of God says or what's preached. You know what they have to go out and do? Pop a pill. They just can't stand to look at their own conscience. They can't stand to look at their own life. If America is so happy and so right on for what they're doing, if they're so right about everything, then why is everybody on antidepressants? Now, there's some that need it, because there are mental disorders out there that people need that stuff. I am not saying anything against that at all. But I'm just saying, if America has it so down pat and we're doing so good, then why is everybody on them? Those things seared my conscience. Every time I would go to feel pain, I'd run to a psychiatrist or a psychologist and say, oh, I feel this way, and oh, I feel that way. You know all it was for me? I'm going to talk about me. You know what it was for me? I needed to see what I really was.
Yeah.
And when those things were taken out of my life for the first time in my life, I seen, oh my goodness, this is what I've been missing. It was very hard. Ask Amy. Hard depression, dark times, evil, nasty times. But I had to go through. I had to see what I was. And then pills were stopping everything. You know what they did? They had me up to almost 300 pounds, and I wanted to die every day just about. I was always talking about suicide and all that on that stuff. Always. Didn't help me. When that doctor said, Dale, Mr. Moore, there's nothing else I can do for you, today I thank God for it. I didn't see it at the time. But today I thank God for it because Jesus Christ stepped in and did something different with me. That's where opportunity came in for him to start working with me. And I thank God for that. And I'm not saying anybody, if you're on medicines, that has nothing to do with me. I'm telling you what God did for me. You stay on your medicines. That's your doctor. You guys deal with that. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying, not everybody in America has mental problems that need medicines. But everybody in America has they need the medicine of a King James Bible to see what they are. That's what they all need. A good dose of the Holy Ghost, they used to say. Give a shot of the Holy Ghost and that'll wake them up a little bit. We need revival, but you know where revival's going to start? Brother said it last time. In the house of God. We need it started right here. In each and every heart, in each and every home that people are just sitting in here, that's where it's got to start. It's got to start with you, Amy, in your heart. Luke, Autumn, Doug, me, the Montgomerys, Chris. That's where it's going to start. In each individual heart. And then guess what? Then we come together as the family that we're called to be. That's how revival starts. But it has to start right here with me first. Me. I'm not looking at you. Kyra, don't look at Dylan. Let revival start in your heart. He'll follow along. That's how it's got to be. I cannot worry about what she's going to do on her revival. I got to worry about what God's trying to show me about me. You know what? Because then she'll come along. If she worries about what God's doing, and I see it, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to come along. But if I'm so worried about her, or she's so fixated on me, we're never going to get it done. It's not going to happen. You're not going to move anywhere. You're going to be in a stalemate. It says, Nehemiah 9:6, if God created all, let's go to Nehemiah 9:6. Let me turn there. Nehemiah 9:6. I'm getting ahead of myself. Nehemiah 9:6. There we go. Thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all the things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. Thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. He preserves everything. Everything that we see is still here. God has not utterly destroyed it. He preserves it. So tell me. Why can't he preserve the Word of God? Why can't he preserve what he wants us to know? Why is his arm so strong to be able to hold the heavens and hold the earth and hold the planets in the palm of his hands, but he can't give us a word? To me, that does not make sense. To my mind, to the way I think now, that does not make sense to me. It's foolish when people think that way. Because if you believe God formed and framed this earth and everything around it and in it and whatever, then you must be able to believe that he can give us a perfect word. You must be able to believe that. If not, then you must have a real hard time with salvation. I mean, how can you believe he's got salvation? If God created all of what we read in the verse, God created every atom and every neutron, man from the dust of the earth. Ain't that something? We came from the dust of the earth. People believe. Hey, do you believe in creation or do you believe in evolution? Oh, I believe in creation. So you believe God took dirt from the ground and made man. Yeah, I believe that. You don't believe he can give us the perfect word, though? Think. That doesn't make sense. You ought to go just bang your head off a wall a couple times until you start making sense. Talking that garbage. Oh, yeah. Oh, I believe God can take dust and make man. Okay, then why can't you believe him, his word? Why can't you believe he gave us the perfect Bible then? What's so hard about that? When you think that, gosh, yeah, think about that. God created man from the dust of the earth. But it's impossible for him to give us a perfect word. How limitless. I mean, what the limitations that man's brain puts on our God. Here's God to most people. All he is just in a little box. Let me try to rub him and get an answer. No, I'm not, no. That's not going to work. God's not a genie or a doorbell or not a doorbell, a bellboy and all that. He's not going to just sit there and wait for just your problems. You're going to give him something too. You're going to commit your ways unto him. God's just not a genie. Well, God, you're going to have to answer my prayer. Then maybe I'll start getting in the Bible. Oh, no. God ain't working that way. Okay? So created man from the dust of the earth, the Milky Way, and every star in space, but people believe he can't preserve a perfect word. Why would our God, who went to an agonizing cross, and who calls us to separation, save us and give us a Bible and music and a lifestyle where the world couldn't tell we're any different from them? Why would Jesus Christ be nailed to a cross and then tell us to go live our life any old way we want?
the agony, the suffocation that that happened to him on that cross, of dying, being crucified. The beatings, the beards ripped off his face, and the thorn crowns kicked down his head. Why would he go through all that to save us and to separate us and to give us a corrupt Bible? If he's going to go through all that to save a single soul, don't you think he's going to go through a whole lot of trouble to give us a perfect word? Don't you think that it would be worth it to him to give us a Bible that we can rely on and have faith in and trust and learn and live? If he's going to go through all that on the cross of Calvary and then say, here, take whatever thing you want to read. No, I don't think so. I can't see him doing that. The love of God put him on the cross. We all know that. Why? Because God is love. So if God is, if he's love, then why wouldn't he give us something we can live by and trust? Let me ask you something. People say, well, Jesus told me to do it, or the Spirit moved me. And you can't find any evidence in the Bible that agrees with that, then you've got the wrong Spirit. You've got the wrong Jesus. You've got the wrong Lord. God gave us that. Why? So what's it say? It says, look verse for verse. Make sure it's real. Why? Paul warned about other spirits, other gospels, other Jesus. Why? Because people can be deceived by that. That's why he gave us the word. Hey, well, you know, the Holy Spirit told me to do that. What did he say? Let me go look that up. Well, no way. No way would he ever say do that. You see, he gave us that so that we can check. Did the Lord really move you? Did he really ask you to go here? Did he really ask you to do that? Did he really direct you in this way? Yeah, go check your Bible and then cross-reference that. See if you can find some verses to back that up and you'll know you're okay. But if you can't find verses to back that up, maybe you ought to rethink some things. That's one of the reasons why he gave us the Bible. Number two is to teach us. We all have to teach our children. We know that. When they're born, they don't have to be taught how to do bad things. So let me tell you this. When you're after you become a saved person, what do you think God has to do? He's got to teach you and train you. Well, what better way than give you a manual? When you're stuck, you don't understand something, you're not sure, go in your manual. It's there. It's what it's for. Use it. You wouldn't just have a child. I mean, America's twisted now. People do. They have children. Don't teach them nothing. Just let them do whatever they want to do. But God is love. God's not going to do that. He's not going to go to an agonizing cross and then just leave us there with nothing. With no information, nothing to direct us, no guidance, no nothing. Nothing that we can say, gosh, is that really from you, Lord? Read my word. Gosh, are you really telling me to do that? Get my word. Find it. It's in there. Guarantee it's in there. But God, so many people, they have no clue. No clue. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you should be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Let me just tell you this. If you have God, a holy God, living inside of you, your desire is going to be towards that Bible. Your desire is going to want to know it, learn it, and understand it. Why? Was it Barnabas? Doubting Thomas. I believe is who it was. Doubting Thomas. He's seen what happened to Jesus Christ. He's seen the marks in his hands and his feet. And he stood there and still didn't. He said, Thomas, you believe because you see me. But blessed are those who don't see but yet believe. Well, how do we see God? Right there. Right there. He showed you himself right there. You want to know what God is? You want to know what he looks like and what he wants? It's right there in front of you. Why wouldn't he do that? Well, I don't know how to be separate from this world. Go ahead and grab that book that's right there you call a Bible that you think you like. You go ahead and grab that. It'll teach you how to be separate. Well, how do I raise my children? Right there. How do I be a husband or a wife? Right there. How do I be a preacher or be in the ministry? Right there. It's all there. There's nothing there that can't help you. Nothing. I don't believe God
who loves us so much, and God is love, will leave us out there. I got gum on my lip. Who will leave us out there hanging and not give us away. I know this. I love my children. I wouldn't leave them out there hanging. So why would God, who loves my children more than I do, and I love my children dearly, but my love for them doesn't compare to the love God had for them. Just doesn't. That's the way He is for every one of His children. So it says here that Jesus hasn't changed. The Bible hasn't changed. Salvation and the relationship with Christ hasn't changed. But man has tried to change Him into a religion. Change His word, change His music, lifestyle, and all call it Christianity. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That means that person that's standing up here today, right now, that you see in the flesh and blood, never existed before salvation. I'm a new creature now. That's easy to tell. I speak differently. I act differently. My desires are differently. Different. Why? Because I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things are gone. Them old things are history. I went for a job interview, and I told this at 1 o'clock service. Everything was going good. I had the position. The lady said, I need you to do one more thing. I need you to sign a piece of paper. All right. No problem. I mean, she gave me all these positions. I was hired there on the spot. I guarantee it. She goes, I need you to sign here whether you've been convicted of a felony, ever. So I wrote down 1998. Now I feel about this big. I slid that paper to her. She goes, no, I need you to open that. I need to see it. So I opened it back up. And she goes, what's this? And I told her, I said, man, if I tell you right now what that is, I said, you're going to look at me in a different way than you never have. You're going to look at me, you're just going to look at me in a totally different way.
Yeah.
She goes, I need to know. I said, first degree armed robbery, 5 years I did in prison. Those very same things that Jesus Christ forgave me for, society holds on to.
That's right.
I'll carry that for the rest of my life. When I go to college, I got to sit in front of a committee to see if they'll allow me in the school because of my violence. The very things that Jesus Christ came in and forgave me for and changed my life and brought me from, society still holds on to that. Yeah. They still hold that against me today. And it's been how many years? I got my last arrest was in 1998. I got out in prison in 2002. All those years. And that one, Kyra, the decisions I make today, I still have to carry with me the rest of my life. Though I'm a new man, and I told her, I said, ma'am, I'm now a preacher. I said, I have a certificate of relief for disability. She goes, I would have never known you to be this way, to be that robber by the way you are today, she said. That's what she told me sitting in the office. I said, because I'm not who that used to be. Amen. That's not who I am. And she told me that. She told me that I would have been the perfect employee, but now it's up to the corporate office. See? The decisions you make today, they'll be with you for the rest of your life. Jesus Christ has made me a new man. I've changed totally, inside and out. And it wasn't by me doing it. It was by Jesus Christ. He gets all the glory, and I thank Him for it. But it says here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He's the one who made the way. He's the one who took me and brought me unto Himself. He's the one who reconciled me unto Himself. These other Bibles and other verses and other churches want to try to reconcile themselves to God. And it's not gonna happen. If man, by any slim chance, could ever work his own way to heaven, then Jesus Christ would have never had to die. But it's in possible. With God or with man, nothing is possible. With God, all things are possible. Why? Because you got to come through the blood. You got to come through the blood. If you're not willing to come through that blood and what Jesus Christ wants you to do, you're never going to get it. Your religion won't help you. Your little professions won't help you. Your little so-called faith won't help you. You need Jesus Christ. And how are we going to see that? How can we see Jesus Christ? It's sitting right in front of you. If I remember, John 1:14 says that the Word was made flesh.
If that's the case, what you're holding in your hands is the very words of God. It's the very words of Jesus Christ sitting right there. He'll teach you that. He'll teach you what you need to know to come to Him. Matthew 6:33, I'm going to say it again. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. Put it in your heart that you want to seek Him first. And then what else is going to come? The learning of the Word. He'll teach you that word. If you're willing to go ahead and say, Lord, I'm done with the way I used to live. I'm done with that lifestyle. I want something new. I want you to teach me this. And He sees your heart and you're 100% ready to go for it. Guess what's going to happen? He's going to do that very thing for you. That's what He longs to do.
Yes.
He longs for that person to come and say, I'm done with all this garbage. I want to now learn your word. I want to become what you want me to become. Let me just tell you this, and I asked this at the 1 o'clock service. There is no way on God's green earth I would have ever went and thought of myself to ever be a Christian. This is not the lifestyle I would have chose. But God chose me. He wooed me unto Himself. Oh, let me go be cool and be a Christian. Oh, boy, what? Oh, man. Oh, let me go make all these friends with all these Christians. I got more enemies today than I ever had being a Christian. I got people who hate me more now than when I was out there living the gangster life, man. Are you kidding me? I say I've been stabbed more now in the back as a Christian than I ever did in the gang. But you know what? It will be worth it all. I can't remember the rest of the song, but when I see His face, I mean, just imagine one day, and I'm going to close with this, one day, I'll be standing, I'm going to close my eyes in death, and when I open them up, I'm going to be standing in front of the one who went to that cross for me, who took that old Dale Morey and made him into what is here today, and I'll be able to thank Him for that. I may not have much for crowns, because I pretty much throw them away all the time. But I'll be standing at the foot of the one who saved me. I'm thankful that He did that for me. And I also believe that when I'm in heaven, I believe the same thing Pastor Asquith does, that when I get to heaven, there's going to be a pulpit up there, and it's going to have a King James Bible sitting on it. God wouldn't give us something that He don't have.